So today I have listed on the schedule, I'm going to talk about Kundalini balancing exercises. Now, Kundalini is a word from Sanskrit that means coiled serpent. And it's a little confusing. Why are we talking about a serpent? But this is about chakras. And we've had multiple people talk about chakras so far. And all this is great information. And I want to put a little bit of a different spin on the discussion of chakras because I think it's very important and central to our personal growth and balancing, our spiritual development, and the way in which our metaphysical self is connected to our physical self. I feel this through the chakra system. That's why there are organs that correspond to the chakras, because there are actual positions in the spinal column that the organs are connected to, and those energy centers are both metaphysical in the inner dimensions, and they're manifested in the physical dimensions in our body. So chakras are described in the Law of One or the Ra Contact books as being the meeting point between our inner and outer natures. We have the outer nature that we're very aware of, that we're inundated with, and we have the inner nature that is where our thoughts are and our spirit is working through in what they call the tree of mind. But I guess I could stop for a second and say, the Law of One books are pretty much my favorite books, and you can find them at llresearch.org and on Amazon. And they used to be called the Raw Material. The latest editions are called the Raw Contact. These books were channeled in early 80s, 1981 is when most of the material was channeled, I'll be talking about, and channeled through a woman named Carl Ruckert. And I absolutely love the way they describe things. And to me, it's just given me a very comprehensive cosmology on really the way everything works in the universe, the spiritual reasons that we're here, and the way in which we're evolving. All of it is discussed. But to take a step back, this concept of the Kundalini and the chakras is obviously a very ancient one. And the coiled serpent is really the idea that there is a raising up that happens that unwinds that which is coiled up and not opened yet in all of the chakras. So as the serpent rises, as we are seeking to do anything in life, we're seeking along different levels of vibration or different levels of perspective. I think this is a huge point to make relating to chakras, is that the chakras correspond to ways in which we are viewing the world, the lenses through which we are seeing things. And this is very well summarized. This is a brief overview. I'll talk about this in more detail. And ultimately, I want to get into the nature of why balancing is occurring on each of these different levels, and understanding where your balancing needs to occur. You can target that chakra. You can target that kind of balancing. And just as a simple example, by carrying around carnelian, there was a woman in town named Jane Kieran, and there was a psychic in the UK who simultaneously recommended, and different readings I got recommended carnelian for me, and I kept that in my pocket, and that seemingly opened me up in a lot of ways. But that's because it's the color, and it's relatively convenient that chakras correspond to colors, and the colors of the crystals that we may have on our body will actually magnetize that vibrational energy. But the simplest explanation that it's in the Raw Contact books of how the chakras correspond to our perceptions and our lens on reality. And this is maybe a slightly different spin than other people who talk about energy centers. Energy centers and chakras are the same concept in the Raw Contact, but they're not necessarily in other disciplines. But I'll use those terms interchangeably, chakras and energy centers. But they say, Each experience that we receive will be sequentially understood by the growing and seeking mind-body-spirit complex, which is an individual. We are mind, body, and spirit complexes in one individual. Each experience will be sequentially understood as we are growing and seeking. First, in terms of survival, which is the red chakra. Everything is in terms of survival initially, and we can fall back in that state when we're blocked. Then in terms of personal identity in the orange, then in terms of social relations in the yellow, the solar plexus, then in terms of universal love in the heart. And I could even restate this to make it easier. Each experience will be understood in terms of survival, Each experience will be understood in terms of personal identity. Each experience will be understood in terms of social relations. And that's where a lot of the planet right now is blocked and struggling and suffering, is just on those first three: survival, personal identity, and social relations, and the way in which we are manipulating one another, and the way in which our society is imposing madness on us. That's all a part of the yellow ray blockage, the solar plexus, which is traditionally called the ego. When it's used in a negative sense, the ego is when people are seeing themselves as separate from one another. That's related to the yellow ray blockage, and we're seeing ourselves in power and control games all the time. But then when you can break through that and you can see in terms of wanting peace and joy and love for others, when you break through all the blockages of the lower chakras, then you're seeing in the green in terms of universal love. And then if you develop enough love in your heart, you'll begin seeing in terms of how the experience may beget free communication. Open and honest communication from the heart happens when the heart is open and that coiled serpent raises up to our throat chakra. And we're seeing in terms of how can we radiate love with our voice, radiate love with our actions and our being. And we are working with the blue ray then. And I think a lot of us are at that, especially when you're in a long-term relationship. There can be a lot of blockages to open and honest communication that you realize could be worked on, and you start working on those over time. And that's a long journey. And then finally, next is the indigo, the pineal center. And they say that is working, seeing in terms of how the experience may be linked to universal energies. And this is a somewhat abstract phrase, universal energies, which can mean, for me, it can mean the transmutation of perceptions of finite experience, limited specific experiences, to seeing more in terms of universal energies. And the astrology is a huge one, where we can see how there are flows of energies that are all interrelated. And these universal energies are connected to the way in which manifestation is unfolding on a deeper level than what we tend to see in the physical, in terms of the laws of physics, because the laws of metaphysics are the laws of the spiritual dimensions, which are also the laws of time. And the way things are unfolding in time is metaphysics. The way things are unfolding in space is physics. But the way things are unfolding in time is a parallel dimension, set of dimensions, which are the time dimensions. And there's three time dimensions according to the Law of One books and according to the physicist Dewey Larson, who was flagged as being one of the people who had this right, that there's a reciprocal system of interactions between the physical and the metaphysical that happens because both time and space are flowing in and out of each other in these two parallel realities, one of which could be called space-time that we're experiencing, the other one would be called time-space by the raw contact or by Dewey Larson. And the time-space dimensions can be perceived in your dream plane more easily, and people who go into trance can tap into more awareness, and people who are obviously precognitive, and I think we all are able to see a few seconds in the future, have a feeling when things are about to happen that'll be emotionally significant. That's because you have a little bit of a window into the time-space dimensions, and you see something right close to you is coming at you in time. And so our metaphysical vision, which is more opened through the third eye, will allow us to see across time. And this also, you know, can get into theories about how time travel could be possible. But ultimately, if you understand that you're in a position in space and a position in time, and everything else can be a place that you travel to or don't travel to, then you can see how timelines are not static or linear. Timelines are the direction of your spiritual body traveling in particular directions. And so we can all be on parallel but slightly divergent timelines, and we can reconverge, and we'll have Mandela effect experiences. I'm sure everyone here has heard of the Mandela effect by now. But that's worth researching if you haven't found out about the Mandela effect. It's kind of a way to open up your perception on the nature of the fluidity of the time dimensions that we're flowing through and experiencing different realities. And finally, at the crown chakra, where every experience will be understood in terms of the sacramental nature of each experience. And this is probably a word that most people don't use very often, the sacraments. This is obviously a strong religious tone to it. But the raw contact books will often say that one of the most useful exercises we can do is to see the Creator and ourselves, see the infinite Creator in others, see the infinite Creator everywhere, and see the love in the moment. And that's basically the same thing as seeing the Creator in everyone. And when you see the Creator in everyone, you are essentially deepening your sense of reverence for what it is that we're doing here. When you're appreciative with gratitude that goes beyond words, with the reverence of what an infinite Creator is wanting in this moment, to be able to have this beautiful experience with so many profound lessons, there's a sense of the sacramental coming more into view. And when you release yourself from the illusions of separation, the illusions that there is something wrong with this world, and you can see the perfection of the plan that is choosing to unfold in all these different individuals as the Creator, knowing itself. When you can appreciate it with the highest light, then that's what they chose the word sacramental. The sacramental nature of each experience becomes accessible. And another good quote about the opening of the indigo I could throw in here. The indigo ray, the third eye, which gives us the window into the infinite Creator, the sacrament at the crown chakra, the indigo ray is opened only through considerable discipline and practice, largely having to do with acceptance of self, not only as the polarized and balanced self, but as the Creator, as an entity of infinite worth. This will begin to activate the indigo ray. So indigo ray is another way of saying the indigo chakra and the energies that are coming in through that ray. And it's interesting that you use the word ray, because we're talking essentially about pure light in a spectrum. So you have rays of light that are coming in through our beingness in these colors. These different colors are a very helpful way of looking at it. So taking a step back, I'll talk about Kundalini in general. Kundalini was, if you search for Kundalini exercises on YouTube, you'll find a million things. You'll find emphasis on the need for activating your chakras through devotion, service, working on your purity, your discipline, your compassion, your honesty. All these are valuable philosophies to pursue. You'll find a lot of mental techniques that you can do to open up your chakras. You'll find what are called bijas or seed mantras. People often recommend chanting the Sanskrit vibrations of each chakra, like Lam, Vam, Ram, and these correspond to the different chakras. And this is another great technique that you can practice. And you can focus your awareness on the colors or on the different positions of the chakras, and you can gain more appreciation of those energies, which correspond to the different levels of perception. What I wanted to emphasize today is that you can augment your experience of all these Kundalini raising meditations when you have a comprehension that there are these levels of perceptions and blockages that are corresponding to each one. There's a lot of warnings about activating your Kundalini too quickly, and people have had psychotic episodes from doing very powerful Kundalini exercises. Some of it can come with breath work, but I think that most people don't have any issue. But it's just good to be aware that there are, when you're working very directly with chakras, it's good to be aware that they are things that you might have attachments through and to, and understanding the nature of those attachments can help you release from them as you're attempting to raise the locus of the meeting place of the inner and outer nature, attempting to raise the Kundalini and look at things from the new light, the new perspective, the higher perspective that you're raising that Kundalini to. And there's many, many visualizations you can find on YouTube that will help you, and mantras to calm the mind to help you get closer to working on each of these energetic issues and blockages. And obviously there's many people recommending proper nutrition, adequate rest, and bodily exercises. And this is a huge part of yoga. Asanas, the way in which people are positioning their body can reorient the natural energy pathways. So in the raw contact, they talk about primary energy centers, which are the seven I'm talking about, but that there are also secondary and tertiary energy centers, which go all throughout the entire body. And all these other energy centers are usually what would be called the meridian system, or what the acupuncturists would use. And this is different for every person. There might be slight differences in the way in which these work throughout the body. So I think yoga can help us with stuck energies when we're when we're holding an energy in a different part of our body. But what I'm going to focus on is the spinal column, the primary energy centers. And yeah, there's lots of breath work people are doing. There's alternate nostril breathing called Nada Shohana, deep breathing exercises, mudras, which are the gestures, kriyas, the subtle practices. So breath work is very powerful at activating energy and breaking through. If you're ready to break through, if you're holding on to something very tightly, you're very attached to something in your life, that can be something that just makes it very unpleasant to try to raise your energy until you release from that. Ross says, the most important concept to grasp about the energy field is that the lower or negative pole, the red chakra, will draw the universal energy into itself from the cosmos. The outer is pulled in through the red. Therefrom, it will move upward to be met and reacted to by the positive spiraling energy moving downward from within. So the crown chakra could be said to be within. The red chakra represents the energy outside of us. That's why it's survival based. Maybe I get somebody to turn down the knob there. I don't know. Is it too loud? Is it echoing? Or hot mic? It's good. All right. As energy, well, the measure of an entity's level of ray activity is the locus wherein the south pole outer energy has been met by the inner spiraling positive energy. So there's two energies that are meeting at the point where the serpent has raised. As an entity grows more polarized, meaning more in love for self or others, polarization usually relates to choosing a path of love. As an entity grows more polarized, this locus will move upwards. This phenomenon has been called by our peoples the Kundalini. However, it may be better thought of as the meeting place of the cosmic and inner, shall we say, vibratory understanding. The cosmic and the inner meeting place of vibratory understanding. To attempt to raise the locus of this meeting place without realizing the metaphysical principles of magnetism upon which this depends is to invite great imbalance. So magnetism is a fascinating concept because it really does relate to the inner, the hidden fields of energy that are always metaphysically linked. So I do believe that the Earth, you know, is a very metaphysical being, the sun is a very metaphysical being, and the magnetics of the Earth shift and are obviously related to spiritual ley lines. When people get on the ley lines of the Earth because of the magnetic effects, you will have the boost in energy along different pathways. That could be why people are congregated in certain locations in the country. It just feels good to be in certain places because of the magnetism. So another area I wanted to touch on was the balancing. And I guess I could start with some explanations of the issues people run into. They said that when you're working on balancing, the red center is not balanced quite the same as the orange and yellow. The red energy center is more like the core fundamental strengthening ray. So the more you have an energy which is very strong in your ability to exist as a being, to survive, to be solid in your energy. And there's many ways to energize yourself. That's the foundational red energy. So balance there very often just relates to making sure that your survival needs are taken care of, and you're very confident in your energy. But there are ways to continuously energize yourself. But that's the foundation where all the energy is coming from, is our outer nature. The body can be fueled with adaptogenic herbs, with food, and all those things contribute to the red ray energy that can be fueling the potentials for higher experience in the energy center system in the chakras. The next energy complex, which is the orange, which may be blocked, is called the emotional or personal complex. This blockage will often demonstrate itself as personal eccentricities or distortions with regard to self-conscious understanding or acceptance of self. So the way in which we identify or feel that we are not accepted, the way in which we identify with the ways in which we feel we are different and not accepted in our individual personality, that's all the orange ray blockage. So to get free of that, you basically just have to get over yourself to a degree and think more about in terms of social relations from the vantage point of the orange that is blocked. And then when you're in the yellow, the third blockage resembles the most closely what you've called the ego. It is the yellow right or solar plexus center. Blockages in the center will often manifest as distortions towards power manipulation and other social behaviors concerning those close and those associated with the mind-body-spirit complex. So this is where they said, to fully unblock the yellow ray, it is helpful to think only of other selves' joy, peace, and comfort. Wish only for other selves' joy, peace, and comfort. And so some people may have fear that if you're only wishing for the best in others all the time, that you can become taken advantage of, and that becomes another blockage that can hold us back from open-hearted love. But, and this is what our society is constantly programming us to do, is to withhold ourselves because we feel too vulnerable if we open up to love fully. But I think that there's natural protections that come with open-hearted love, and the universe will guide us into the areas of wisdom over time that make it so that we don't have to worry so much about the power games that people are playing. We don't have to look in that lens to open up the heart. The center of heart, or green ray, is the center from which third density beings, which means humans on Earth, may springboard towards infinite intelligence. So this is a springboard center. Blockages in this area may manifest as difficulties in expressing what you may call universal love or compassion. And this is, you know, I've seen a lot of people argue the point that there is no such thing as universal love. There's no such thing as unconditional love because people are aiming for a feeling that is a good feeling, that is what they get from helping others and being loving. But I think that this sort of misses the very wide potentials of range of experiences. A person can be in pain and still be in great love and having no positive experience, but still pursuing love so strongly that they're dedicated to not caring what their body is registering. And I think it is a categorically different experience when you have true unconditional love. It's not something that's a selfish thing that you're seeking. It's something that is the lens through which you're seeing reality. You're seeing others as yourself instead of as separate from you. And so serving others is serving you. Serving others is serving God. You could look in these lenses and it becomes obvious and automatic that love is what we're here for. Once you reach that level of activation. And the blue ray center, the throat chakra, is the center from which for the first time is outgoing as well as inpouring. Those blocked in this area may have difficulty in grasping the spirit-mind complexes of their own selves. You may have difficulty even understanding your own self and what's going on in your mind if you have blockages in the blue ray and being open and honest with yourself, and further difficulty in expressing such understandings of self. So you won't be able to even talk about what's going on in your mind if you're blocked in the center because you can't even see what's going on in your mind. It's harder to understand yourself. But openness and honesty is the central teaching there. And the next center is the pineal or indigo ray center. Those blocked in the center may experience a lessening of the influx of intelligent energy, which is an abstract way of saying the energy of the creation, the energy of the universe coming in its pure cosmic form. Experience less of that cosmic energy due to manifestations which appear as unworthiness. So the core blockage of the indigo ray, they say, can be distilled in the word unworthiness. And there's a lot of ways in which people can feel separate and that they're not a part of the divine plan that is perfect and whole and complete. But that's just the blockage that has to be worked on to get over that and see that you are used by God, that you are a spark of the Creator, and that everything is flowing through you in a completely worthy way, completely chosen by the free will of an infinite Creator, nothing unworthy. The next thing I want to talk about here is the balancing exercises that Ra suggested. And this subject first came up when the questioner, this was a Q&A session basically between a physicist, Don Elkins, asking through the unconscious channeler in trance state, Carl Rucker. She didn't have any memory of what she was saying. So it was like Don was just having a conversation. And Ra, who was speaking through Carla, would not give statements without a question being asked. They required there to be an invitation for them to feel the free will balance of responding to that question. But Don asked the question, what would we do first if we want to become effective healers? And Ra interpreted this to mean metaphysical, miraculous energy healing. And they went into a series of practices, which can be found in session 5 in the books, which you can find at lawofone.info or lresearch.org. And they said the prerequisite for working on the mind is to retain silence of self at a steady state. The mind must be open like a door. The key is silence. So to work on yourself and finding truer balance, you have to spend time meditating, find a way to silence your mind, not be so distracted, get back into balance through silence, and find those inner doors. Within the door lies a hierarchical construction you may liken unto geography and in some ways geometry, for the hierarchy is quite regular, bearing inner relationships. And that's kind of profound. Not everyone can get a sense of that, but I'll talk about that a little bit more in a little bit here. The structures of the mind that we begin to perceive. To begin to master the concept of mental discipline, it is necessary to examine the self. And they also described another point that there are three disciplines of the personality: know yourself, accept yourself, become the creator, or become a co-creator of experiential occurrences by no longer being caught up in yourself. Knowing yourself is a process that happens on every one of the chakra levels. Accepting yourself happens on every one of the chakra levels, although most of that work that we're blocked in is happening on the orange level right now. But knowing yourself is the prerequisite for accepting yourself and moving on in your identity beyond the separate self into the cosmic self. So to begin to master the concept of mental discipline, is necessary to examine the self. The polarities of your dimension must be internalized. And they give some examples. Where you find patience within your mind, you must consciously find the corresponding impatience and vice versa. When you find patience within your mind, you must consciously find the corresponding impatience and vice versa. Every thought that a being has in its turn an antithesis. The disciplines of the mind involve, first of all, identifying both those things of which you approve and those things of which you disapprove within yourself, and then balancing each and every positive and negative charge with its equal. The mind contains all things, therefore you must discover this completeness within yourself. So at first when I read this, you know, patience sounds like a very positive thing. Why would that need to be in balance? And I can certainly see having a 3-year-old now where if I'm overly patient with him, I can't just let him run my life. There has to be a balance, a give and take. So I can be impatient with my son and get him to bed on a reasonable time. And that's actually helpful to both of us. And there's some wisdom in that. But I also feel like when you're looking within yourself and you're doing this exercise, looking for things which you approve of and which you disapprove of, you may actually think of yourself as very patient. And you may have an attachment to that thought. You may think of yourself as loving, but the thought of I am a loving person is not the same thing as love. There's a distinction there when we're attached to something that seems separate from the world. When we're not open-hearted in our experience of the world, we might think about ourselves more and in terms of ourselves more. And those are the personal identity things that are holding us back from love. And one of the ways they describe balance is not indifference. Indifference to, am I loving or unloving? Am I patient or impatient? It's not indifference, but it's rather the observer not being blinded by any feelings of separation, but rather fully imbued with love. So the feelings of separation, I am loving, maybe that person is not. Those feelings of separation are what are blinding us from seeing the truth of the oneness of our connectedness to everyone and the way in which the lessons are unfolding as being a collective journey. But the core of the exercise really is looking for these things that you approve of and you disapprove of yourself, and then having a meditation where you will actually take a strong charge in you. And you can think back in the evenings, think back on your day. Does anything emotionally affect you? And then try to get to the point within yourself where you can experience the opposite experience. You may want to do visualizations to get there. Be creative. You can't just force it because you won't have a genuine expression of the opposite experience. But if you can have all the experiences to balance out your energies and your karma within yourself and your meditations, you bypass the need to experience karma in the physical reality. And this is also why they say at one point, forgiveness and karma are intertwined. Forgiveness is the stoppage of the wheel of karma. Karma is like inertia. Forgiveness is like putting the brakes on the car. That car that's moving along in a certain direction can lead to a lot of experiences in your life. But if you recognize that within yourself and you allow yourself to feel the opposite charges from the charges that you've been experiencing, then you can deal with all that junk inside of you, work through all of it in your meditations, and it can be dealt with very quickly, entirely internally. And that's part of this discipline of knowing yourself, then accepting yourself. And knowing yourself is understanding what these distortions are that have the two sides, the two aspects. And the second mental discipline is acceptance of the completeness within your consciousness. Each acceptance smooths part of the many distortions that the faculty you call judgment engenders. And then the third discipline is gazing outwards and completing and repeating the process with others. And when we see somebody as a certain way that we feel is imbalanced, that's bringing emotion out of us, if we can actually in ourselves, for example, patience or impatience, we can reverse that and see them as the opposite. And it's like seeing two sides of a coin. I know that I am you and you are me. And we both have this in us in the deepest places of us. And I believe, as my personal belief, this wasn't stated in the material, that the more we see those in our life in balance and not in these polarized fashions, the more easily they can balance and find that balance within themselves too, because we're all connected through the conscious fields. And so I feel like our ability to love others is actually transforming them without them even having to have any interactions with us, because that conscious ability to see differently in balance is allowing the karma to be collectively processed and collectively removed and released. So there's plenty of other examples of positive and negative charges. You could see yourself as creative or uninspired. You could see yourself as calm or overly busy, kind or cruel, disciplined or procrastinating, trustworthy, untrustworthy. There's many ways to look at these things. And I'm out of time now, but I'll wrap up saying in session five, they also go into the body. And the body is the second area where we need to find balance in all the things that can hold us back. And there's some simple examples here. Male and female were the example that they gave. If you're focused on your maleness as being so great or your femaleness as being so great, you miss the lens of the completeness within both genders. And it's the same with foods and cravings and tensions in your body versus relaxations. There's a balance to be found everywhere with all the bodily sensations. And the most important point I want to get at is here. The third area is the spiritual balancing, which, as they say, is the longest. The exploration and balancing of the spirit complex is indeed the longest and most subtle part of your learned teaching. We have considered the mind as a tree. The mind controls the body, with the mind single-pointed, balanced, and aware. The mind has to be single-pointed, balanced, and aware. This is what we're getting to when we're doing the balancing exercises. You're not scattered in your mind. You're single-pointed in your consciousness. And the body, comfortable in whatever biases and distortions make it appropriately balanced for that instrument. They're using the word distortion to mean practically anything, but whatever biases and feelings of the body make it balanced for you, so that you're not overly concerned with the body, you're able to free yourself from distractions of emotional charges tied to the body. When your mind is balanced, your body is balanced, the instrument, the body, the individual is then ready to proceed with the great work. That is the work of wind and fire. The spiritual body energy field is a pathway or channel. When body and mind are receptive and open, then the spirit can become a functioning shuttle or communicator from the entity's individual energy of will upwards and from the streamings of the creative fire and wind downwards. So these are very abstract, sort of symbolic and mysterious metaphors or concepts. The fire and the wind are ways in which we can view the spirit. And becoming more like fire, becoming more like wind, is becoming more like the infinite spirit that blows and burns through manifestation and reshapes manifestation according to the will of an infinite, of infinite source. And the sun is a great example of, you know, the creator that we see. And there's a suggestion when they're discussing the tarot that becoming the archetype of the sun is a central journey. Becoming the light of the sun, fully radiant, fully without any hindrance, but the joy of bringing great, powerful light through our identity. When we identify with that light or we identify with the wind, that is another way of seeing ourselves blowing through creation unhindered by the distractions of separation. And I also thought this was beautiful. I could end with John 3, verses 8. They said, Jesus said in John 3, 8, the wind blows where it wishes and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from and you do not know where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. And that word spirit in the Greek is pneuma, and the word wind in the Greek is pneuma. So Ra seems to be implying that the Stoic philosophy, which was held by the Greeks and the Romans, the pneuma is this principle, which on the Wikipedia page I found, they say, in its purest form can be difficult to distinguish from the logos or the constructive fire that drives the cyclical generation and destruction of the Stoic cosmos. When a cycle reaches its end and configuration, the cosmos becomes the pure pneuma from which it regenerates itself. So this pure energy of logos is also a synonym for love in the Ra contact, but these energies of the purest sense of love, the purest form of fire that are creating the cosmos, is ultimately what we're becoming back connected back to when we do all the work in balancing ourselves and freeing ourselves from the separated identity and becoming one with an infinite creator, an infinite mind, which can manifest and flow in through all of creation unhindered by anything other than honoring the free will of others, which is ultimately the free will of the infinite self, which is seen as the self at that point. So thank you guys for listening.